Vince, are you ready for rapid fire?
Oh, is it time? Let's go, baby. Rapid fire time.
It is. We're here. Scale of 1 to 10. Your surprise level that Notre Dame stayed ahead of both Texas A&M and Indiana in both polls this week.
Like a 4. My surprise level wasn't that they stayed ahead of those two teams. My surprise level is that they jumped 4 spots. Like, that was my surprise level. The actual order of operations and things like that, I think, you know, Brian and I kind of dug into it last night on the show and our kind of reaction to the AP poll and everything. I was much more surprised that they jumped to 8 after winning against Navy, and they actually dropped a spot last week after their win. Like, that was, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, well, maybe people are starting to come around that, you know, 6 games removed from Northern Illinois, that Notre Dame is actually probably a pretty good team. It took them 6 weeks to get there, but I think people are starting to come around, and maybe that's what ended up happening. And Brian made a good point that I hadn't really thought of. Last week, the AP voters thought that Navy was a ranked team. Like, they ranked them. Like, that's – so it's like almost speaking out of both sides of their mouth if they don't give Notre Dame credit for beating a ranked team that they ranked in the top 25.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like, well, we kind of got to give them some credit now because we had that team ranked, you know? And so the mantra of, well, it was just Navy kind of had to go by the wayside because they had them ranked. You know what I mean? So Notre Dame got the benefit of the doubt, I think, on that one as well.
I was a little surprised. I think I put mine, you know, like at a 5. But I think that, you know, one, LSU plummeted. Like, they fell 8 spots in one poll and 9 spots in the other poll. So that helped Notre Dame out, obviously, and it helped everybody out. I did think that maybe kind of some of that stuff that we were talking about at the start of the show, well, this is a different A&M team and they're the only undefeated team left in the SEC, you know, like in terms of conference play, you know, they're the only SEC team without a conference loss, I guess I should say. You know, I thought that all those things and this kind of Indiana groundswell, because they just keep on winning, and they won with their backup quarterback. I thought that Indiana was going to pass up Notre Dame. But I do think that two things. One, yes, Notre Dame beating a ranked Navy team helped them. But I think now, because of what I was just talking about, the fact that Texas A&M is the only team in the SEC without a conference loss, that is, like, as long as that remains true, Notre Dame's chances just go up every week that they win another game. Like, that is going to pull Notre Dame up. The longer Texas A&M undefeated, that's going to give – that's like just such a huge bullet point into the conversation that we had last week. It obviously, at this point in the season, greatly outweighs the bad loss that Notre Dame had. Now, that's at least to the AP and the coaches poll. Still going to be interesting to see what the college football playoff does in a week.
Well, and I think that CFP ranking that comes out, we're going to get a lot of these questions answered, you know, as to how they're looking at certain things. You know, what are they going to weigh more? The really, really bad loss that Notre Dame had, or their really good win against Texas A&M? They were a week separated from each other, right? So you can't be like, well, one was at the beginning of the season, one was, you know, more recent. Like, they were 7 days apart from each other.
Exactly, seven days. Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, that was all kind of in the same time frame. And then you've got, obviously, the 6-7 weeks since then and what Notre Dame has been able to do and what Texas A&M has been able to do as well. So what are they going to weigh more, the wins or the losses? You know, the strength of schedule, the beating of ranked teams, you know, all of those different things are all going to come into play in this one. And we're going to see what this committee thinks about all of those things, I think, in the first ranking. Now, there'll be more clarity, obviously, as the weeks go on, but we're going to get a good idea of what they think of that Northern Illinois loss, I think, right away.
By the way, we've got a new friend of the show
that
I'm going to introduce tonight.
I'm excited.
It's called MyBookie. If you know football and you love to win, like as in you love to win some money, MyBookie is perfect for you. I mean, you should check them out. And when you do, we've got a special code that you can use. It's Irish. Fairly simple to remember. I think. Irish, I-R-I-S-H. And that'll double your bankroll with 100% deposit bonus. So if you bet with MyBookie, you can get even more with MyBookie Plus because they've got a loyalty rewards program and it gives you more plays, more wins, more cash in your account, and no strings attached as well with MyBookie Plus. So, and a little pro tip for you, by the way, as well. Notice this trend going right now. The NFL teams with the top offensive lines, like the ones that move you, you know, they're dominating the run game this year. And betting those games, bet the under on those games. It's been printing money this season. So check out MyBookie, the sports book that gives you control and rewards every moment of play. New friend of the show here at Irish Breakdown. Glad to have him aboard. By the way, I texted you this yesterday. Next Tuesday, November 5th, Election Day, the first college football playoff rankings come out, and the NFL trade deadline, all on the same day next week.
We'll not have a shortage of show content Tuesday and Wednesday.
Wow.
Because the rankings show obviously comes on after the show on Tuesday. So we'll have that to talk about on Wednesday, but the rest of it will all pretty much have been set in stone at that point, right? Well, the election probably won't be. What am I saying? That'll get dragged out for a few days, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many weeks is that going to take?
That's a different conversation and a different podcast, folks. But
that's exactly right.
But go vote. Do your civic duty and go vote.
Don't come into this chat this week or next with any of your nonsense, because I'm going to blow you out.
Yeah, you'll be blocked. You'll be pancaked in a heartbeat. We're not doing the whole political. Right. Not doing it. We ain't going to do it. The only thing I'll say, as I said it again, go vote. Because if you don't vote, you can't bitch. All right. Yeah. But don't do that here either.
But this is, you know, this is for me, it's actually perfect. Cause like we won't get it during the show.
Correct.
I'm sure Brian will do his show right after our show ends. But the fact that, you know, we'll probably be able to end our show, go flip on ESPN, see what's going on with the college football playoff rankings. And that just gives us that much more reason that we don't have to watch any of the election nonsense.
Correct.
So that's right. Good, very good point, Raymond. So the playoff projections out this week have Notre Dame as the number 9 seed playing number 8 Tennessee in the first round. I'm not sure exactly. You sent me this, so I'm not sure exactly where you got it. The winner would get the number 1, get number 1 Oregon in the first round.
Yes. So I sent that to you based on the AP poll. Like strictly based on how the AP ranked it today or yesterday, technically, this is how the bracket would be set up, right? So you take your four highest ranked conference champions, they're 1 through 4, and I put them in order of their AP ranking. And then you go back through, okay, who's left? And you just put them in order, right? It's a pretty simple exercise, right? What was the exact question before I start answering?
What do you think about, you know, where Notre Dame is?
Okay, right, got now? It.
The projections, and, you know, we can obviously dig a little bit deeper because there's been a lot of playoff talk on this show already.
I don't like that particular path, right? I said earlier that if you're a Notre Dame fan, that you should not be afraid of anybody, and I'm not afraid of anybody, but do I really want to go on the road, you know, in that environment in game one? Not really. And number two, do I really want the number one team, whether it's Oregon or Georgia or whoever, in the second round? No, I don't. I think I would much rather have the opportunity to play the 3 or the 4, because that's going to be the ACC and the Big 12 in whatever order, you know, it gets put in, right? The ACC and Big 12. I feel very confident against Miami or BYU. Yeah. Very confident against those two teams, right?
Me too.
I would love to host first round, and then I want one of those two teams in the second round, and then you're in the final four, and all bets are off. Let's see what happens. You know what I mean? So that's the path that I would like to see Notre Dame get. I don't necessarily like the one that would present itself today, so we'll see. You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare ya. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Light it.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Urban Meyer. This fall, the game changes. Join me, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, and broadcaster Rob Stone as we bring you a new perspective on football and culture every week. We will be joined by the biggest name in sports and talk about everything inside and outside of the lines. Let us guide you through a new era of college football. Watch Triple Option on YouTube or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah, 9's a little, you know, 9's low because that's the cutoff right there. If you're an 8 seed, you know, 5 through 8, and you're going to get to host a first-round playoff game. 9 through 12, and you're going to go on the road. So that's the first thing is Notre Dame needs to make sure it is better than an 8. But again, things are trending in the right direction right now. You know, so like assuming that these two polls, the AP and the coaches poll, are an accurate representation of what might happen when the playoff rankings come out next week, you got to be feeling pretty good. Now, Notre Dame will have a bye, and you never know what's going to happen during the bye week. Go ahead.
Right. So Salty says, don't go too long into the road game discussion. Notre Dame is hosting that one according to their AP position. No, they're not, because the Big 12 champion right now is behind Notre Dame. So they would jump up into the top four as the fourth highest ranked conference champion.
Right.
And then that bumps down whoever is
everybody else
top four. So then Notre Dame gets dropped a spot.
Well,
them at number 9.
Well, no, I was going to say, but there are also two Big Ten teams and a couple SEC. But yeah, I mean, basically.
But that one jump
right.
bumps everybody else down.
It just bumps everybody right. down a seed. That's right. Right.
Yeah. So that's why they are the 9 and not the 8, because right now the Big 12 champion is ranked behind Notre Dame.
And that's. You know, again, it's something new to the system. It used to be just the 4 teams, and you didn't have to worry about this. Well, you got to take into account conference champions and all that. You know, you're not just seeding 1 through 12. That's going to, like, so Notre Dame almost needs to be at least one spot higher than what they are to feel regardless of where they are in the ranking, to feel confident in
hosting
what their seed ends up being.
Yeah
because absolutely. Of those things.
Absolutely. And look, some of the teams above them are going to knock each other off and some things are going to happen. I think I feel fairly comfortable that Notre Dame will rise up a little bit. I don't know. Again, depending on what happens ahead of them, I don't know that they'll rise up a whole lot, but they definitely want to be out of that 8-9 game. In my opinion, that's not where you want to be. You don't want to be in the 8-9 game and you want to host. So I think the goal is 5 or 6, but I don't know that they're going to have the opportunity to do that. I just don't.
So Nick wants to know what number seed they need to be in the initial ranking for you to be more confident.
In the initial ranking? Shoot.
As long as the initial ranking, I think they can be right where they are right now. 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And you're fine because there's still a month left to go.
Yeah, 100%. I'd feel really good about that. 8. I was ecstatic that Notre Dame was 8 in the AP poll this week. So if they're 8 in the college football playoff ranking, I think that's definitely fine. Because again, I think there is going to be at least a modicum amount of chaos up top, which is going to drop some people. And I think Notre Dame will benefit from that. And again, this is obviously all assuming Notre Dame continues to win. That's the be all end all of it. Now, the final ranking. I would like Notre Dame to be 5 or 6. That would be ideal because then you're going to get the 3 or 4 of the top 4. And again, like I said, I would feel very happy against the ACC champ or the Big 12 champ.
Yeah, and the other thing, and this is kind of what you and I were talking about before the show started here tonight, and this is what we were kind of debating last week, is these other conferences, Big 12, ACC, like, when you look at the way the schedules have laid out, not everybody is playing everybody in there. Absolutely. I mean, and you know, it's the same in the Big Ten and the SEC as well, but it's going to be really dramatic in the Big 12 as an example, because Iowa State and BYU won't play each other potentially before the Big 12 championship game. And Colorado right now, even though Colorado has a non-conference loss and a conference loss, like if Kansas State beats Iowa State at the end of the season and Colorado keeps winning out, Colorado doesn't play either one of them, you know? So there's like, I don't think you're going to have to worry about Colorado stealing, you know, an at-large bid, but if Colorado would work themselves into the conference championship game and steal a bid, I mean, so like there's just so many weird factors with these big conferences now, because they're so big and not everybody's playing each other.
If things hold the way they are, you know, the Big 12 could be a one or a two bid league right now. The problem would be if a team like Colorado gets into the championship, wins it, then that's a bid stolen, in my opinion. Now, I don't know that they would still put in three Big 12 teams. I don't see that happening.
No.
But you're guaranteed to get two in at that point, I think. And that could be a bid stolen from somebody like Notre Dame, depending on how things shake out in the other leagues and how the ACC like right now, in my opinion, the ACC, the Big 12, I think one of them is going to be a one-bid league and one of them is going to be two. I don't know which one, because Clemson and Miami could get in. You could get two from the Big 12. I just don't think they'll both get two in. I don't see that happening. So in my opinion, it's going to be one's going to get two, one's going to get one. And best case scenario, if you're a Notre Dame fan, both of those leagues just get the champion in and that's it. That could potentially happen depending on how things shake out. And if Miami's undefeated and BYU's undefeated, they're in. And I think that might be it.
Well, and what's crazy is Pittsburgh is still undefeated. They're only ranked 18th.
Oh, their schedule's terrible.
And I know. And that's the thing is they've got SMU this week,
which could be their first loss, by the way.
Yeah. But and then they've got Clemson in a couple of weeks. So like they do actually have to play Clemson. So one of those two teams is going to have at least one conference loss here pretty soon. So that could help take care of some of that as well. But like
Pittsburgh is like that. I'm not saying they're smoke and mirrors yet, because they haven't played anybody really good, but right now they're undefeated. I mean, I think they're the lowest ranked undefeated team off the top of my head, and rightfully so. Well, I shouldn't say that. Army is. But they also haven't played anybody either. So
in terms of power four, right? Yeah, lowest rated. All right. So Billy Shrouth came back Saturday, started at left guard on the offensive line. Here's Marcus Freeman.
We had a thought on Tuesday, but you know, he wasn't doing everything, right? He did a lot of the scouted reps, but as long as his body was going to be able to give us the reps we needed, we were going to plan on using him as our left guard, but that was still to be determined based off Tuesday, Wednesday, and ultimately Friday. It's great to have him back. He's a heck of a player. We felt like this is what was best for this game, you know, based off, you know, some of the previous evidence that we had. And we said, listen, that's what we think is best for this offensive line in this unit, is to put Billy at left guard and keep Rocco in it at right. Sam has done a great job in his preparation. He's a selfless individual and he's ready to go when his number is going to be called. But at the end of the day, each week your role is determined by the coaches to help us achieve the outcome that we wanted. Every week your role can change, but this is the role we needed for those offensive
lines. You remember he said earlier last week, basically last Monday, that Billy Shrouth was potentially going to be available, and he ends up starting at left guard. How important do you think that is for the Irish going forward, Vince?
Oh, it's massively important. It is massively important. The game was called differently by Mike Denbrock because Billy Shrouth was in the lineup. Plain and simple. You saw Anthony Knapp had his best game up to this point. I don't think that's a coincidence with who is playing next to him. The fact that the coaching staff made the decision to put Billy at left guard and not in his spot that he started at in the beginning of the season at right guard, I think was an inspired decision, and thank God they made it. Like, that's where I'm at. Like, that's the right decision. It's what we all wanted them to do, but I was not confident that they were going to do that, right? And so starting him at left, keeping Rocco at right, I think was absolutely the right decision. And again, it's no coincidence that Anthony Knapp had his best game playing next to Billy Shrouth.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it felt like they were playing a little bit of diplomacy, you know, just like in terms of, you know, okay, Sam Pendleton, you're coming back out of the lineup now, all that kind of thing. But let's just be honest, with when you've got Rocco Spindler on one side and Billy Shrouth on the other side, I mean,
it should have been both starting guards in the first place at the beginning of the season.
Sure, like, feels like it. Just watching those guys.
I mean, yeah. That's who should have been started. The problem from a coaching standpoint that they ran into was they thought Charles Jagasaw was going to be the starting left tackle, and they could have Sam Pendleton at left guard because he's really good. He could bring along Sam and everything would be fine, right? Well, Jagasaw went down in the first week of fall camp. At that point right there, that's when you needed to move Pendleton over to right guard and you needed to move Billy back over to left, because it was very obvious early on from what we're understanding, talking to coaches and stuff, it was very obvious that Anthony Knapp was going to be starting at left tackle. Like, it wasn't going to be Tosh Baker. It was going to be Anthony Knapp. When you knew you were going to start a true freshman over there, starting a redshirt freshman next to him,
you needed more experience.
That was never going to be a good decision. You know what I mean? And then you've got Rocco on the bench. Like, that, I just, that never computed for me. And they got to it now in week 8 in a very convoluted manner. But they finally got there, Sean. Like, I don't know.
That's what's crazy. I mean, obviously, the injury kept Shrouth out for as long as it did after he started the season. But the fact that it took to get here in game 8,
man,
to have what I think to most people, just the casual observer, are your two best guards finally starting next to each other is kind of crazy. But I'm just glad that that's where they're at right now.
And look, Sam Pendleton did the best that he could, man, but he's kind of swimming upstream, man. He's like a trout. You know what I mean? So thank goodness they got it figured out eventually. And now with the way that the offensive line is constructed, I think they can now be a good offensive line. They have the ability now to be a good offensive line. Not elite, not amazing, but good.
But still really good.
But good, yes, exactly. If they continue to progress from what they did on Saturday, they could be a good offensive line. And you can win with a good offensive line considering what is around them. And like I said, Mike Denbrock called a different type of game on Saturday than he did. Because we were praising Mike Denbrock a week ago for how he called that game. It was quick throws, getting the ball out quickly because they clearly didn't trust the offensive line and a lot of the things that they were doing, right? This time, they went a little bit more max protect at times. They were calling some longer routes, you know, some long over routes, some down the field routes. They trusted the offensive line in this regard. And then Riley Leonard has his best game in the pocket. You know, his pocket movement was good. His time in the pocket was good. Like, all of those things were good. Because now there's a newfound trust in the offensive line, and there's a one guy difference. That one guy is possibly your best offensive lineman going into the season, and now he's back.
Right.
So, makes a big deal. Makes a big difference, I mean.
Yep, for sure. All right, so Riley Leonard asked after the game, what changed for him after some ups and downs early in the season?
It's a great question. I didn't know that stat. I really don't look at the statistics too much, but you know, I think a lot of factors come into play there. I'll start with everybody that's been around me. You look at guys like Sam Hartman, who gave me a call and really spoke to me about, you know, the opportunities that we have being quarterbacks at Notre Dame. You look at Tyler Buckner, who came back here. Going out to eat with him and having his perspective on everything, like, really helped me out a lot. And he doesn't get enough credit. I mean, he put so much into this program now and has really been a big help to me. Every single teammate that's held me accountable, not only on the football field, but when it comes to my faith as well. Obviously, Notre Dame is a very spiritual place, and I think, you know, allowing Jesus to come into my life and change the way that I, you know, walk into a football game has really helped me out a lot. I think I was hesitant and put a lot of pressure on myself, but me and Coach Freeman were talking about it one time, and, you know, everybody goes into games. I feel like I certainly did the first couple of weeks thinking, what if, you know, what if I mess up? What if this happens? At the end of the day, if I go into a game thinking, even if, you know, even if everything falls down and we hit rock bottom, you know, my Lord and Savior is always going to be there for me. Nothing's going to change with that. So that's been the biggest thing. And yeah, long answer, but there's been a lot of things that have helped me out.
He wanted to go there for a while, Vince. He got on a little bit of a roll.
Yeah, he did.
What'd you think?
Well, he's out. He speaks from the heart. I think we can all agree on that. Sometimes a little too much. But I think it's very genuine.
We agree on that too much, or he speaks from the heart too much?
Sometimes he speaks from the heart too much.
Okay.
but I think it comes from a genuine place, right? And if you're just watching him play football and then you get this explanation, it kind of makes sense. Like, he looks more relaxed. He looks like he is not worried about the outcome. You know what I mean? Nah, he's still dialed in and he's still doing his thing. And he's still a really good football player. But he just looks so much more relaxed when he's out there. He looks like he's having fun. And yeah, winning is fun, and they're winning by a lot the last six games. There's no doubt about that. But I think that if for whatever reason, the pressure is off. And maybe it has something to do with that NIU loss. You know, maybe it has to do with these secret lunches that him and Freeman have. I don't know. But the pressure appears to be off.
Sundays with Freeman, you know, sessions.
Right. There's going to be a book written at some point. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I just, like, you know, one, he opened up with, you know, he doesn't care about stats, and I can't remember the exact stats. He might've like rattled off, you know, what it's looked like over the last six games or something. Okay. Like that. But look, against the three ranked teams that they have played, four touchdown passes, two rushing touchdowns, almost 200 rushing yards. He's got six total touchdowns in those three games against the ranked teams. And I mean, you know, like during the win streak, eight touchdown passes, 10 touchdown runs, and he's run for almost 460 yards. He's obviously, you know, something has changed. And like, you just listen to that explanation of the whole thing. He definitely just seems like his headspace is a lot different right now than it was at the start of the season. I'm not even saying it was in a bad place at the start of the season, but it's just with everything, just with everything that comes with being at Notre Dame, and the fact that he can go out and talk to Sam Hartman. And like, you remember Hartman, remember when Leonard got hurt in the Notre Dame Duke game last year? Hartman was waiting for him to come out of the injury tent there at the end of the game and stuff like that. And then he talks about Tyler Buchner. And that's, I don't even think we think about that, because all we think about when we think about Tyler Buchner is sort of the tangible skill set that he potentially brings. But like, this is a guy who was also the starting quarterback at Notre Dame. There's nobody else on the roster who can say that. And so like, that's another resource.
Sean, for Riley Leonard. Steve Angeli started the bowl game. Come on, man.
Oh, that's
jeez.
Right.
You don't ever give him any respect.
You're right.
After I heard that quote,
you're right.
After I heard that quote, I immediately thought about, you know, okay, I'm going to put myself in Riley Leonard's shoes, right? He comes in January. He has to sit with 9 months of expectations, of talk, right? And that's from us, from fans, from the team, from the coaches, like 9 months without being able to show anything because he got hurt in the spring. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, okay, now it's the season. Go be this guy. That's a lot of pressure. That's a ton of pressure. And you can say maybe he didn't handle it very well, or whatever route you want to go on. And I don't really care. But like, and I'm not saying you specifically, I'm saying you, you know, metaphorically, like whatever route you want to go on with why he had all the pressure on him and why he didn't necessarily play as well, that's gone. Like, you can visibly see that the pressure is gone. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason it is for him, I don't care whether it's you, your Lord and Savior is lifting you up, whether your mom makes you a bracelet, whether you're eating PB&J after the game, I don't care. But the pressure is off, and he's playing the best football he's played all year.
That's it.
That's all I care about. That's it.
Yes. That's it. You know, Josh, I never really thought about this, but the guy is from Fairhope, Alabama.
From Alabama.
He doesn't talk with a Southern accent at all. That's the first time I ever really thought about that. You're right. There's no, why is there no accent?
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Going back to the Shrouth thing, do you think Spindler and Shrouth are the guards going forward? That's what Michael was asking. I forgot to throw this one in there.
Barring injury, absolutely. That's the best chance that you have of having a good offensive line.
I think so, too.
Father David.
I think Father David's
good people.
He is.
And he's not wrong. Father David, you are absolutely not wrong. And when you find that spot, then you are automatically in a good place. And I think that's fantastic. Like I said, if that's what it is for him, that's awesome. I don't care, though. Why? I just want him to play good football. As a person, I care. But as a football player, whatever gets you there, man. Like, whatever gets you a seat at the table.
Father David was screenshotting tweets of Jesse and I back to back during Cowboys Niners last night.
I don't even know how that game ended. Is that wrong? I did not come prepared.
That answers the question that I'm about to ask you. Did you know that yesterday, by the way, was National Tight Ends Day?
No, I had no idea yesterday was that day. No.
I didn't either until I turned on Cowboys 49ers and had it beaten over my – it was basically – they talked about National Tight Ends Day just a little bit less than ESPN talked about 63% Notre Dame college football playoff chances a week ago in the Georgia Tech game. It was just National Tight Ends Day, National Tight Ends Day, National Tight Ends Day.
The 49ers have a really good tight end, obviously, in Kittle.
And Kittle apparently created this Hallmark holiday.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
And why did he pick the 27th of October?
I have no idea. I was just tired of it. I was over it because I was just generally boiling for most of the game.
Well, I'm looking at the box score, or at least the scoring by quarter, and I can understand why you might have been a little upset. That third quarter was rough.
Very rough.
And wow.
Yes.
Sorry. Hey, at least your team didn't have it in the bag and then just tip the ball to the other team.
You want to talk about that? That's on the list.
Wow.
One of the most insane endings I have ever seen. And of course, you know, my daughter, Bailey, loves your stupid Bears. And so I have to sit there and watch Bears games with her. And it was an ugly game for most of the day.
Oh.
And then they finally take the lead at the end. And I'm like, they're actually going to win this thing. There's like, 23 seconds left or whatever it was.
Yep. And they have to score a touchdown. Commanders have to score a touchdown. They're down by four.
Yeah. So Jaden Daniels, 52-yard Hail Mary, deflects into Noah Brown, former Cowboy receiver, by the way, into his hands with no time on the clock in the end zone. Tyreek Stevenson, Bears defensive back, is out there taunting the crowd, and then he gets over, you know, to the play late, and he tips the ball into Brown's hands. Is that it? Is that your answer? Cut him. He did apologize on Twitter.
I don't care. Cut him. I think I'm more upset about the fact that he's taunting fans with the play occurring behind him. Like, the play had started.
Right.
He's taunting fans.
He's like, oh, I better get over here. No. I can actually do my job.
Bye. I'm sorry. A DB is a dime a dozen. You're gone. Look, they cut kickers for less. All right. I'm not bringing it back to a kicker, but they cut kickers for less. Get him out. I'm sorry. That's the last play as a Bear. You're done.
I mean, you're late. You tip the ball up in the air as opposed to trying to spike it down. Like, what are you even doing?
Sean, like,
everything that he could have done wrong, he did wrong.
Here's the thing. And no, you don't fire the coaches. The coaches had nothing to do with him tipping it straight up in the air. Every football coach worth his salt says, knock it down. That's not a coach's fault. Now, if you want to fire the coaches for the fact that the offense was completely inept for 3.5 quarters, that's fine. Because they were terrible. Like, the offense was terrible. They're lucky that the defense is good and they kept the Commanders out of the end zone, because the Commanders were going up and down the field in between the 20s without much of a problem, and they had to kick a bunch of field goals, and that's the only reason that the Bears were in this game. But I will also say, Why in God's green earth are you handing the ball to an offensive lineman when you're trying to score your first touchdown of the game? They're idiotic. Lucky they got the ball back with another opportunity to score a touchdown.
I know.
That. What are you doing? What are you doing? Like, if I'm Caleb Williams, not only am I changing the play at the line of scrimmage, like I'm not handing the ball to a guard or whatever the heck offensive line position he plays, I'm not doing it, but it wasn't even a good handoff.
I mean, dude. I would fake it to him and just go ISO and just follow just his big butt into the end zone. Yeah.
All you need is a touchdown there. It was like first and goal. Why are you trying to be cute? I was livid.
After because that. They're the Bears, Vince.
I know.
You should know this better than me. They're the Bears.
And I don't even get all that. And like, it worked up about the NFL. Like, this was just bad football, period. And I just happened to be able to have the time to watch this game, and it was awful. Like, the Bears had like 30 yards passing, I think, going into the third quarter. Something ridiculous.
Now,
it was awful.
In defense of them, you know, one, it is a rookie quarterback, even if it was the number one overall draft pick. I think Washington's going to win the East this year. I think they're going to finish. I think they're going to beat the. It's not going to be my team. They're not going to win it. You know, That's another thing altogether, because we've got a completely complacent coach that who should have been fired after last year.
Well, true.
Jerry Jones kept Dan Quinn, you know, from becoming an NFL head coach for two consecutive off seasons. Then he finally gives up on him because of the playoff collapse against the Packers last year. And so after holding on to him for 2 years, he lets him go into the division, and they've got the best looking team in the NFC East.
Look. And who do they have at quarterback?
Their defense is good.
Who do they have at quarterback?
Jaden Daniels.
Who is a rookie.
It's true.
He's a rookie too.
It's true.
So the whole rookie quarterback thing doesn't fly in this particular game. Just saying.
Maybe Jaden Daniels is just better than Caleb Williams.
I don't think that's even a question.
I don't either.
So, you know, he's over there getting wrapped up, you know, like in between series, and like he's all injured and everything else. And
then he was injured last week. There was, you know, question about whether or not
uncorks a 60-yard bomb to win the game. Like, it was just ugly. It was ugly. It was ugly.
It's time he says North could send three teams to the playoff and the Bears still won't make it. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, if you're the Bears, you had this game won. And your schedule is going to get tougher now, because now they got to start playing the division. I think they might even play the 49ers in this stretch coming up here pretty soon. So,
yeah, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. It's still Notre Dame season. That's what it is right now. It's just the Bears give me something to do on Sundays. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks, because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week one? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game one hits, and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one. And I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my 1 year anniversary of depositing my first $10, and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Matt Leiner. I've got a podcast called Throwbacks with actor Jerry Farrar, where we'll be talking all things sports, but also so much more. We'll give you the behind-the-scenes stories from my days as the quarterback on an iconic college football team to Jerry's days as a star on an iconic TV series. So subscribe to Throwbacks on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
So this whole Mike Elko thing, there is an update to this, by the way, but after beating LSU Saturday, Texas A&M head coach Mike Elko had this to say, quote, "This is a real program. It's not fake. It's not a politician running this program, talking fast and BSing everybody. This is a real program. And for all the recruits out there, this is a real place," end quote from Mike Elko. So all the speculation was he talking about Jimbo Fisher? Was he talking about Brian Kelly? I mean, he's worked for both of them. And of course he just coached against Kelly. At his press conference today,
he walked it back, didn't he?
Came out. Well, he didn't walk it back. He just said, look, I wasn't talking about anyone in particular. And he did say, I was not talking about Jimbo Fisher. You know, the whole, got a lot of respect for him, worked for him. He gave me an opportunity, yada, yada, yada. So what do you think? Do you think he was actually just, go ahead.
Lies. He's just walking it back because he's trying to save a little face. I guarantee you, when he said those things in the post-game show, he had a little visual of BK and Jimbo both dancing around in his forefront right here, just dancing around, because here's why I think that. He used the word politician, number one. That is BK start to finish.
I mean, he started his, like, he was a politician before he was a coach.
And that's why, right? Like, that's not even necessarily a negative thing to say about Brian Kelly. It's a fact. So when he says politician, he's talking about Brian Kelly. I'm sorry. He's talking about Brian Kelly. The other stuff about, you know, running a real program and all of that, that's Jimbo Fisher. Like, so I think he's talking about both guys. Because look, Brian Kelly does run a good program. I think I think as Notre Dame fans, we at least have
also
to say,
he's also a BS and fast talking politician, but, right?
Exactly. This is what I'm saying. So that's why he's talking about both guys. I don't think Jimbo runs a very good program. And I think
he obviously didn't. That's why Elko's the coach now. Yeah.
So I think he's talking about both of them. I really do. I think he's talking about both of them.
That's what I think, and that's what we were going to kind of, you know, was he talking about one? Was he talking about the other? Was he talking about both? And then he came out and tried to reel it back.
Yeah.
And I think he was talking about both as well, because, I mean, he had just been out there face-to-face with Brian Kelly, and, you know, just the whole thing about, you know, we run a program and put the program together. The culture is obviously a lot different there under Mike Elko.
Oh, yeah.
Than it was under Jimbo Fisher. And he had to have been.
Yeah, I mean, and as Salty says, politician is a very specific word and not normally used by a coach in a post-game comment.
Right.
It's a very, like, that felt pointed to me. Like, when he said politician, that was like, BK, it's you. Sorry.
I can't disagree with that at all.
Yeah, and by the way, I love it. That's some serious trolling right there in the post-game show, and I'm here for it.
Even if he did, you know, and he never said a name either. So,
no.
All he had to do was go back today and take back.
I mean, look, and it's also a great opportunity to get up on your pulpit and talk to recruits. That's a great opportunity. You just won a huge game, and this is your chance, because he does compete for recruits against LSU specifically, right? And so why would you not take this opportunity to say these things to recruit? I mean, it was absolutely directed at the recruits. I think that is actually very, very smart. So, Mike Elko is going to be a very tough out moving forward at Texas A&M. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Yep. And then they're coming to Notre Dame Stadium next year.
Absolutely. I'm actually very thankful that it's not game one of the season, because it's in the middle of September. So they're going to have some games to kind of get some things figured out. But look, Mike Elko and Texas A&M are going to be legit, and they're going to be a team to be reckoned with, but so is Notre Dame. So it's going to be a good game.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be an heavyweight type game.
Yeah, 100%. Like, look at what the offensive line has the potential of being next year with all the talent that they – I mean, look, everybody's coming back, and then you're going to get some guys back from injury. Potentially, you're either going to have C.J. Carr or Kenny Minchie at the helm. You're going to have Jeremiah Love still in the backfield. Like, you're going to have talent all over the place, both offensively and defensively. Look how young the defense is. Like, it's going to be a heavyweight bout, and I'm here for it. I'm excited. Whatever school Dylan goes to next year, they better not have a game that weekend. And if they do, I'm mailing it in. I'm going to have to watch on TV. It's not going to happen. So
when Dodgers first baseman Freddie Freeman ended Friday's game one of the World Series with his walk-off grand slam, Fox announcer Joe Davis copied Vin Scully's iconic "She is gone" call from game one of the 1988 World Series when Kirk Gibson hit the walk-off home run. So my question to you, was Davis's call a ripoff or an appropriate sampling of Mr. Vin Scully?
I'm interested to see where you go with this because play-by-play is your dish. To me, come up with your own thing. That's where I'm at. Come up with your own thing, man. I be original, ring the bell, you know, come up with your own thing. I think it's a rip.
I generally agree with the come up with your own thing, but I loved the homage.
Okay.
Because,
all right.
Because there's so many layers to this whole thing. Not only, you know, like, okay, you've got Vin Scully, Kirk Gibson. Game one, 1988. The balls were hit, you know, like, to the same field. They were both hit out into the right field grandstand. You know, like, same general area. You've got two left-handed batters. Both of these guys are injured. Both, obviously, are Los Angeles Dodgers. Joe Davis essentially was the understudy to Vin Scully. He is also, in addition to being the network TV guy, he is also the LA Dodgers TV guy, just like Vin Scully was. Forever. So I did love that in the middle of his call, "She is gone" came out of his mouth. I thought it was a very appropriate, very, you know, like, tip of the cap to the old master Vin Scully. I think that that's what it was. And again, like, the, you know, both of them game one of the World Series, both of them walk off home runs, both of these guys, you know, like, Gibson was a little bit more injured, but Freddie Freeman has been, you know, going through his own injury with his ankle and all this stuff. So I thought it was a very nice homage that Joe Davis gave to Vin Scully.
So you're nicer than I am.
You're
not
a ripoff. You're a sham.
You're a sham, Jerry. I'm you're much nicer than I am. That's been asked and answered many times. So I'm not surprised.
By the way, Salty says, "Vince, did you know Trevor is stealing your 100% trademark phrase?"
Well, you know, imitation is the most sincerest form of flattery, Jim. That's where I'm at with that.
I like that. All right. Well, I think that I think that's it. We got it all.
All right.
USMA agrees with me, by the way. He says an ode to Skelly. So.
All right. See, you guys are all nicer than me. It's okay.
I mean, we all knew that.
Right? I guess we did.
Grumpy old man in the seat, Vince DiDario.
I had a cavity filled this morning. It's been a rough day for me. It's been a rough day.
I feel for you. Upper, lower, like where?
Upper front. Like one of my beavers right here in the front.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it's weird. It's not like the normal ones where they're like, you know, under here, right in the front. So, yeah, I had all kinds of issues today.
Has your face been numb all day?
The problem was it became unnumb very quickly. And then the whole front of my face hurt for like hours. So I was a big baby. I was curled up on the couch. You know, I can't help you with anything.
Yeah.
You know.
I think my dentist because I told him, like, because I hadn't been to a dentist in years. And so when I went to this dentist, you know, I told him, I said, "Look, I was traumatized as a kid. That's why I haven't been to the dentist in a long time." And he loads my mouth up every time I go. So it takes hours for my Novocaine to wear off. So.
Oh, man. It's so funny because I'm such a baby. I'm always afraid of the big needle, you know, that they have to get in there and everything. And I have my eyes closed and I'm like tense. I'm gripping like the handles of the chair, and like I am tense. And it's like, you know, the little assistant girl, she's got to be what, like 22 years old. And she's
little
like
assistant girl.
She's like patting my shoulder and she's like, it's going to be okay. And I'm like, oh. It's pretty embarrassing.
I think the name you're looking for is dental hygienist.
Sure it is. My point is she's like half my age. Like that's the point. And she's like trying to calm me down.
She's soothing you, calming you down.
that was the only point that I was making. She went to college and the whole deal. Like, she's a wonderful professional and all of that. But like the fact that she could be my own child and she's like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
Oh, I wish I could have been there for that.
And of course, I didn't feel anything. You know what I mean? Like, I was totally just freaked out for no reason.
Did I ever tell you this story about my son? He is afraid of the needle so much that the last time he had a tooth filled, he refused the Novocaine.
What?
And just let them drill on his raw tooth.
Oh.
Yes.
Jesse. What is wrong with you?
I know.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh. And he was fine.
Well, I'm sure. It's like women who give natural childbirth. Like,
yeah.
Okay. I mean, this is 2024. They got drugs for that. Like, it's...
Oh. Yeah, I mean, it's not quite Ronnie Lott, you know, like chopping off his pinky when he got it stuck in his face mask or whatever, but my son is a little bit nuts. I will have to say that.
Gosh, there's no chance. There's no chance. I'll go through the pain or the fear of the needle in order to not feel the pain of the procedure.
I know.
You know
exactly.
What I mean?
It's just like close your eyes.
Oh, yeah. My eyes were like,
it's how I am on roller coasters. Like when we used, to take the kids to amusement parks because, you know, Daredevil and all that stuff. And of course, his mom wouldn't get on the roller coasters with, you know, when he was 8 years old. So dad had to. And I'm just as afraid of it as anybody. So I would just sit there, eyes closed the whole time and just feel the loops. And seriously, I would never open my eyes, man. Just
I would love. Closed. I think keeping your eyes closed might be worse on a roller coaster because you don't know what's coming.
And that's what was good about
Mountain.
It.
That's why Space Mountain is like the freakiest. Hold on. You know, ride out there because it's indoors in the dark, you know?
Yeah. Heights and loops and all that stuff.
Not for you.
Not a big fan.
I would have killed to see some of those pictures that get taken while you're on those rides. Fantastic.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for tonight. Appreciate you being here tonight. As always, special guest coming up on tomorrow's show.
I think I saw this.
Hannah Hidalgo will join us. We've got a women's basketball game coming up this week. Yep.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, it's Wednesday, isn't it?
It is. Exhibition game Wednesday. First regular season game, season opener, 1 week from tonight.
Wow.
I know. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it just means more work for me. That's all that means.
True. All right, hit the like button before you leave, and we will talk to you tomorrow on Ivy Nation Sports Talk.